You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards, Saturday evening, June the 27th, and I'll tell you, it's time that somebody stands up for what they believe in. I believe in the cause that motivated the heroes of the Confederacy. Their blood still courses through my veins. This is my family. This is my banner. They were right. They were godly. They were principled. They had integrity. They had honor. And, you know, we're playing some clips tonight from the movie Gods and Generals, and I realize that that was a movie that came out, I guess, about 10 years ago. So it's a contemporary dramatization, but these clips are historically sound and accurate. They are drawing from the writings and the public speeches of the characters being portrayed by these actors. So when Robert Duvall is portraying Robert E. Lee, and as I said, Robert Duvall is a direct descendant from the Lee family, and Stephen Lang is portraying Stonewall Jackson, this isn't just, you know, made-up commentary that the writers threw together. This is stuff that they said. These were their true sentiments. And so I think adding this tonight just adds another layer of depth to the broadcast, and I'm just really excited about that. And, you know, about the movie Gods and Generals, if you haven't seen it, you absolutely must do so. When I sat down to write the autobiography or the memoirs of the Political Cesspool radio program and my time with this program, hopefully many, many, many years from now, I'll remember in 2011, I got a call from Warner Brothers, the studio, who is certainly not a friend of our people, but they are a friend of the almighty dollar, and they knew that our people would be fans of this movie. And so I worked with Warner Brothers to help promote the re-release of Gods and Generals, which was re-released in 2011 in commemoration of the 150th anniversary of the war. Anyway, that's why we're playing these clips tonight. I think they really serve to back up what we are presenting to you. Let's play another clip now from Stonewall Jackson about the cause of the war. This is a speech he gave to his troops before their first battle.
Citizens, soldiers, I'm here at the order of General Robert E. Lee, commanding all Virginia forces. On April 15th of this year of our Lord, 1861, Simon Cameron, the Secretary of War of the United States, sent a telegram to our governor, John Letcher, directing him to raise 3 regiments of infantry to be sent to assist in suppressing the Southern Confederacy. Governor Letcher's answer is well known to you, but perhaps not his words. His wire to Washington stated, "You have chosen to inaugurate civil war, and having done so, we will meet you in a spirit as determined as the Lincoln administration has exhibited toward the South." 2 days later, the Virginia legislature voted for secession. Just as we would not send any of our soldiers to march in other states and tyrannize other people, so will we never allow the armies of others to march into our state and tyrannize our people. Like many of you, indeed most of you, I've always been a Union man. It is not with joy or with a light heart that many of us have welcomed secession. Had our neighbors to the north practiced a less bellicose form of persuasion, perhaps this day might not have come, but that day has been thrust upon us like it was thrust upon our ancestors. The Lincoln administration required us to raise 3 regiments. Tell them we have done so. Dismissed.
Attention, company!
The Confederacy would not send soldiers into other states to tyrannize other people, nor would they allow that to occur in their lands. That's what that war was fought about. And at the end of the day, it all came down to family, as I said. And there is no cause more nobler than that. No reason to fight ever existed that was more compelling than the defense of your family. Eddie, you're listening to these clips. You know, you're a man's man. You're a war veteran. Two honorable discharges in Vietnam. You're listening to these clips. Tell me the emotions you feel.
I tell you, James, from the minute I walked into the studio tonight, my chills have been running up and down my spine constantly, and none more than listening to Stonewall give that speech. It's almost like he's really there. I'll tell you what, James, another miracle is that the Warner Brothers actually published a true history of these clips. But I'll tell you what, he was so right. And what really struck me about this clip, it really made the chills go up and down my spine, is he pointed out that the South, the so-called evil South, we would have never have invaded our brothers and sisters in the North to try to enslave them, to try to put them under an absolute despotic tyranny. And that's exactly what the North did to the South. And that's why we fight. That's why our ancestors fought to the last man against impossible odds. That's why they fought. I mean, my God, how could you not fight to defend home and hearth?
And as he said in a clip we played in the second hour, Eddie, in his conversation, the portrayal of his conversation with Jeb Stuart when Stuart was reporting to duty under Stonewall's command, he listed what would happen in this country if the Union prevailed.
Yes,
and
he did.
I said, we're all Confederates now. Listen, I mean, this isn't about just Southerners. This is for all of our brothers around the country and across the world. But what did he say in that clip? Do you remember what he said? What happened? North prevailed?
He said something like, and James, before I get into that, I'm going to say what we saw with the South fighting for their freedom was really a continuation of it was battling against a federal tyranny. It's basically a repeat of the first War of Independence when we fought against tyranny. But basically, James, if I remember right, he said not only if the North came to the South and won, not only would it represent a complete loss of property, he said it would be, if my memory serves, it would be the beginning of tyranny, unlike anything we'd ever seen, a prelude to absolute anarchy, a loss of free and responsible government. And this is what, you know how I'm an economist, you know, amateur economist, a complete total triumph of commerce and rule by the banks. You know, James, and that's pretty much the same thing that Thomas Jefferson said several generations before Stonewall. And you know what? James, as he was saying that in the clip, I was thinking, my God, Stonewall Jackson was clairvoyant. He must have been looking at the future and seeing exactly what's happened
today.
The end
of free and responsible government. And with what we've seen here on the Supreme Court in the last 3 weeks, you know, I said it before. The U.S. federal government has lost its moral legitimacy and has ceased to be a legitimate governing authority. We have a far greater cause to secede now than our ancestors did in 1861, as justified as they were. It's even more so now. There is no government. The states, the Constitution, you know, in Tennessee, we voted in 2004 overwhelmingly, 80%+, to have a constitutional amendment to outlaw homosexual so-called marriage. Five people overturned that yesterday in the Supreme Court. Five people overturned the will of the people in a sovereign state.
And you need to look and see who they were.
Amen to that. We'll be back right after this. Hey, Jackson was right. He was prophetic, that's for sure, sadly.
We'll get back to that as soon as the break.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
We're taking a lot of time tonight, an hour and a half, the last half of tonight's show, to defend the South, to defend her heroes, defend her flag, defend our family, because somebody's got to do it. There is one other person out there doing it. Well, there's more than that, of course, but you know, one person doing it publicly. Pat Buchanan wrote in his most recent column, Love and Hate in Dixie. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs, and then I'm going to toss it back to Eddie. But this was Pat's latest column. The battle flag is not so much a symbol of hatred as it is an object of hatred, a target of hatred. It evokes a hatred of the visceral sort that we see manifest in Charleston. What the flag symbolizes for the millions who revere, cherish, and love it, however, is the heroism of those who fought and died under it. That battle flag flew over battlefields. Hence, who are the real haters here? Can the New York Times really believe that all of those coffee cups and baseball caps and t-shirts and sweaters and flag decals on car and truck bumpers are declarations that the owners hate black people? Does the Times really believe that Southern folks fly the battle flag in their yards because they want slavery back? They cannot be such fools. Pat's, of course, talking about the Times editorialists there. Vilification of the battle flag and the Confederacy is part of the Cultural Revolution in America that flowered a half century ago. Among its goals was the demoralization of the American people by demonizing their past and poisoning their belief in their own history. The world has been turned upside down. And how is the Republican Party standing up to this cultural lynch mob? By retreating and running as fast as possible. If we are to preserve our republic, future generations are going to need what that battle flag truly stands for: pride in our history and defiance in the face of the arrogance of power, Eddie.
You know, I hearken back to a few minutes ago during the break when we were talking with Sam, and Sam said, these people know, the people attacking the flag and attacking the Christians, they know that the South is right. They know that the flag, Sam said, they know that the flag does not really stand for evil.
And we proved that beyond a shadow of a doubt already tonight.
And we said, you know, they want to stir up strife between the races. They want to stir up hatred. They know we were right. That's why they attacked and demonized the flag. That's why they don't bring up the amendment that Lincoln wanted to pass that would allow permanent slavery in the 15 states that were maintaining. He was going to let the slavery be permanent. They don't want to hear that. It's just like Sam said, they want to stir up the strife.
And what about Eddie? These Republicans, these white Southern Republicans,
they know it too.
Yeah, that are. I mean, how would you compare their honor and integrity to the people we're rightfully revering tonight?
You know what? The gap is so, the chasm is so great between the filth of the earth that we have in Washington D.C., the filth that we have in the military nowadays. Compared to the Stonewalls, the Lees.
I mean, compare Steve Cohen, your United States congressman, who said you were reprehensible.
Yeah.
compare Rick Santorum. Nikki Haley, all of them.
These people, Stonewall Jackson, we talked about this before. Stonewall Jackson himself, he set up churches for blacks. He had blacks in the same churches as white, but they set in separate sections. He educated the blacks. He took care of them. You know, Steve Cohen. I mean, look at Andrew. Look at Stonewall and the Confederates. They were moral. If you don't like the term Christianity, just think of moral. They were a moral people, a kind people. They were loving people. They took care of the old and aged the sick. Look at Steve Cohen. I mean, they vote for the most heinous, the most perverted sex. Just passed by the Supreme Court, for instance,
and say something about that.
Yeah.
Because, the South still does exist as a separate cultural nation.
Oh, yeah.
Even as watered down as it is, up until yesterday when those witches, Kagan and Ginsburg and Sotomayor, we just looked at a picture of them. These are the people who are our ruling elite. Until yesterday, Tennessee was one of only seven remaining states that still had an outlaw on sodomite so-called marriage. One of seven. We were the last to go down. And if there were anybody here with any integrity, the government of Tennessee would say exactly what another famous Tennessean once said. That was Andrew Jackson. You keep trying to bring him up. He was good too. I don't know if he was.
He was a good
dude. I mean, he was right on Stonewall's level. But he said, the Supreme Court has made their ruling, now let them enforce it. That's what the government of Tennessee should do, because overwhelmingly the elected voters of the state of Tennessee voted to ban it with a constitutional referendum. That's the strongest you can get. Where's our leadership? Well, five people on the Supreme Court said they know better than the state of Tennessee on this issue and every other issue, going back all the way to Brown versus Board. We talk about that a lot because that's where the Supreme Court decided that they could have the power to legislate from the bench and supersede the votes of the people. But we don't have that kind of leadership anymore. We don't even have the kind of leadership we had back in the 60s when states defied unconstitutional legislation from the bench.
Sure don't.
It's a states' rights thing.
I lived through that time when Governor Ross Barnett of Arkansas stood up and defied the federal government. When the Governor George Wallace of Alabama defied the government. And this is another thing that just demoralizes me. It's sometimes for a minute. Is our people are so ignorant, James. They actually say, they'll sit there and say, well, the Supreme Court is the law of the land, so whatever they say, we've got to do. Well, let me tell you what, people. The Supreme Court is not the law of the land. The Congress, our representatives, the senators, we're not the law of the land. The law of the land is the Constitution of the United States. And I'll remind you, people, that the Constitution of the United States was created by we the people. The buck stops with us. And we don't have enough people with enough knowledge to realize that the Supreme Court is not the law of the land. And until we stand up, have enough leaders to stand up and fight this out-of-control tyranny that Jackson predicted, and enough people to back up our representatives, we will continue to lose. And I'm going to tell you something else Jackson nailed this when he talks about a triumph of commerce and banks. My God, that's what we live here. We live under a Goldman Sachs tyranny, an industrial, tyranny. That's what we have. Our laws, our policies now are dictated by transnational industrial banking dictatorship. Our Congress has nothing to say. They're just window dressing. They're just a moot point. I mean, they don't do anything anymore. Matter of fact, you've got all these unconstitutional so-called trade agreements, like the you know, NAFTA and GATT. That they say that's just like weak water. That the new thing coming up, that just Trans-Pacific Partnership that makes those things.
You know,
look
that's
like
interesting.
Nothing.
While we had all of this hullabaloo in Charleston,
Jackson predicted that.
While we had all of these distractions, this media man, look, a sick, drugged up animal went in and shot people, innocent people in a church. And while all this was going on, the TPP gets passed.
What a coincidence.
Not that I have any hope whatsoever that if there wasn't a distraction, that our people would have lifted their precious little fingers to do anything about it. I mean, I certainly don't have any hope that anything would have – there would have been any positive patriotic resistance to the TPP. But it just so happens that this, you know, this was, I guess, a coincidence, wink, wink. But nevertheless, it goes to show why – the South was right. You look at everything that's happened. Stonewall was prophetic in that clip we played. And
everything he says come to pass.
It would have been better if they had won. And I would have fought for them. I wish I could go back and fought for them and fight for them, rather. But you know, this is who we are. And it's very personal to me, as I said, when you attack my family, I can take the abuse as an individual. I could take all the name-calling, all the slander, all the libel that I get subjected to. That's fine. I mean, I get it. But you don't attack my family. And so this is where we're at. But when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get to another clip and really sink our teeth into this even much more, to a much greater extent rather than we did even this segment. So stay tuned. If you love the South, you'll stay tuned because we're coming back hard and fast.
Amen, brother.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
There seems to be a problem here. I'm channel surfing on the telly, searching for the real news, but blimey, the American cable networks all seem to be reporting the same news. That's when I stumbled upon DailyKen.com. DailyKen.com sniffs out the news stories the others overlook. DailyKen.com doesn't try to be politically correct. Rather, DailyKen.com works hard to find stories ignored by the mainstream media. DailyKen.com adds commentary, insights, and sometimes a touch of humor. Well, there you have it. DailyKen.com. No more cable news networks for me.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Eddie, I want to give you some time now. I know we had a little momentary snafu there with the live feed. We got a caller from Canada, that we're going to get to in just a moment. Before we do that, I want to give you some time because I know you came in here with a lot of notes. I want to give you the time to share your thoughts with the audience. We got another clip and a caller that we all got to work in this segment. All right, so go, Eddie.
I would just like to reiterate and make a quick comment on the caller called in just a minute ago. The way I read that article, they're talking about a confederation with a foreign power, like the governor of Arkansas, Huckabee, when he went to Mexico illegally and brought Mexican workers into the United States. It's talking about making a confederation with other countries. We already had, but prior to the Constitution of the United States, we already had what they call the Articles of Confederation. So that kind of, you know, throws that myth out there. But let me get to this. I'd like to go over something we just talked about earlier. You know, the flag, the American flag has been commandeered years ago, actually before the 1860, before Lincoln's war. But the American flag, the so-called American flag now, has no resemblance whatsoever to the original American flag. That's why James says he cannot swear allegiance to it, neither can I.
I'm not going to renounce my citizenship. I do feel as though I'm a man without a country, basically, that represents, you know, his beliefs. But, you know, I'm not renouncing citizenship. I just say that,
sure.
That flag, that's the flag for Bruce Jenner. That's the flag for homosexual marriage. That's the flag that is attacking our ancestors. You know, I don't relate to that flag, to say the very least.
Amen. That's why. And the Confederate flag was the Christian flag. But let me tell you what they did. This may be going over some old ground, but I'm going to go back again. Me and James were talking about it the other day at the end of World War II when the Allies, our glorious Allies under the American flag, stood back along with Churchill and the glorious Union Jack, and they allowed the Russian troops to come in, and they say that just almost every woman in Germany was raped by Russian troops. Well, let me tell you, I mean, you do not know the horror that went on there. Well, the horror that went on in Russia was pretty much like the same horrors that went on in the South under William Tecumseh Sherman. Women were raped en masse. That's a known fact. They came in here, and they beat up and killed old men and young boys. And they invented the scorched earth policy in the South before Stalin ever practiced it in the Ukraine. I mean, they killed livestock. They destroyed the food. They destroyed the entire infrastructure. It was Sherman and Lincoln that said that they wanted to break the back of the South. They wanted to wage war on the civilian populace. They wanted to break their spirit. Because once they broke the spirit of the civilian populace and made them want to give up, they would totally break the spirit of the South and have them surrender. Listen, this tyrant in Washington, D.C., this Lincoln, this thug, this monster, he brought Russia. The Russian Navy came in and assisted him. He brought Russian troops. He brought Hessians in from Germany. James mentioned he brought Irish. He had an unlimited amount of people. He was using foreigners. He brought in foreigners against his own people. That'd be like a president of the United States now bringing in people from Mexico and from China to invade us. That's what they did. I'm going to tell you something else, people. As long as I live, I will never, and I'm pretty much a Southern Baptist, I'm going to nail the Southern Baptist Convention right here. I cannot let the show go without nailing them. If you're in a church, it's a tithing church that turns its back and denounces the Confederate flag, you need to get out of that church. You need to stop tithing. I'll tell my minister, I'm going tomorrow, but I'm letting it be known, I will never tithe a penny to that church if one penny goes to the stinking Southern Baptist Convention because they're a bunch of sellout traitors.
Because
and it's always the hierarchy. Me and James have talked about this. It might be the little, may not be the little podunk church, you know, like where I go to, but the hierarchy, the big churches, they're, you know, like the Southern Baptist Convention, they're the ones that they're as evil as hell. You know, they've been totally infiltrated by evil, but I will not give them hell, write them letters, call them, tell the Southern Convention their tithing funds is going to dry up because you will not give them one.
Well, the head of the Southern Baptist Convention just earlier this year said that the Christian flag and the Confederate flag cannot coexist without one setting the other on fire, which is totally ludicrous, totally ridiculous. And I want to play this clip before we go to the callers. Very important clip. This was
Dresden.
This was
Hiroshima. That's what the
American flag has flown over. That's what it sanctioned. You know, the firebombing of defenseless populations.
Waco, Ruby
Ridge. The precedent was set.
Birmingham, Oxford, Little Rock. That's your stinking American flag.
You know, but here's the thing. And that precedent was set during the war between the states.
Kosovo, Serbia. They went in and they bombed Christians in Serbia. They bombed Christians to defend the Muslims there.
Now, compare that sort
of army. That's your American flag.
Compare the army of that country, which is our country. I mean, this is still our country. This is our army. But compare the way that the government uses that army to this clip.
About.
This is how, this was the reputation that the Confederates had. And Jackson in the movie Gods and Generals addresses it. Let's play this clip.
Throughout the broad extent of the country through which you have marched, by your respect for the rights and property of others, you have always shown you are soldiers, not only to defend, but able and willing both to defend and protect. You've already won a brilliant reputation throughout the army of the whole Confederacy. And I trust in the future by your deeds in the field and by the assistance of the same kind providence who has hitherto favored our cause, you will win more victories and add luster to the reputation you now enjoy. You already gained a proud position in the future history of this, our second war of independence. I shall look with anxiety to your future movements. And I trust whenever I shall hear of the 1st Brigade on the field of battle, it will be of still nobler deeds achieved and higher reputation won. In the Army of the Shenandoah, you are the 1st Brigade. In the Army of the Potomac, you were the 1st Brigade. In the 2nd Corps of this Army, you are the 1st Brigade. You are the 1st Brigade in the affections of your general. And I hope by your future deeds and there, and you will be handed down to posterity as the 1st Brigade in this, our second war of independence.
Godspeed! Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, that was the reputation of Jackson's brigade. That was a reputation. You know, when they would move through the areas that they conquered, they were known not just for their valor and gallantry, but for the way that they not just defended their lands, but by the way that they protected the lands of the areas that they were moving through. And, you know, again, compare that to what Eddie was saying just a moment ago and how, you know, this army, you know, the way the United States has exploited its army. Anyway, by every standard of measurement, the South was morally superior, the integrity, down the line. And we only bring this up again, not to refight the war, but because of the assault that the South is under this week with the flag being banned hither, tither, and yon. It's just despicable. I believe we have a caller in Canada, if I'm not mistaken, Chris in Canada, before we get to the break. Are you with us, Chris? Hey, take it away.
I noticed that this came on fast and furious, punt intended, with the flag, and people are getting really tired of it already. you guys got the stars and bars, and
right.
up here we have a very soft maple leaf. And I want to turn my maple leaf upside down, but my neighbors would take offense to it. But what they don't understand is the overall issue here is we're a country under distress, as you are as well. And
right, this is obviously not an exclusively American problem. And this is a
correct.
Problem that we find all across the Western world, in Europe, in Canada, and Australia. Our people are under siege wherever they exist.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, we're all under siege. It's the New World Order in going down the pipe. And we all have to get together as one to defeat a New World Order. As funny as that sounds, we have to become a New World Order ourselves in order to defeat the New World Order.
Well, I agree with you, because I'll tell you, this it's not over. It will only get worse. As long as we refuse to stand and fight, it can get worse. This is not as bad as it's going to get. We got to take a break.
Oh, it's going to get worse.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells. But as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
somebody's got to stand up. Somebody has got to be proud of who they are, and we're trying to the best of our abilities. I'm not saying we're the best. There may be some better, and there are other people out there doing it too, but support somebody. Support someone that's doing it, because they are too few and far between. Welcome back to the show, our final segment of this night, if you can believe it. But I felt particularly compelled to spend so much time tonight in defense of the South. And we've got Don in California before we let Eddie wrap it up. Don?
Yeah, greetings from behind the lines in Mexican-occupied Southern California. You know, one of your previous callers said the Confederate flag was completely sold out. There's something else that's completely sold out, and that's the leadership of the Republican Party. But that really wasn't
here.
I wanted to talk about what I believe is one of the best-kept secrets of American history and of the Civil War, and that is one of the most unwavering, stalwart advocates of the right of secession was none other than Abraham Lincoln. Throughout his entire political career, he promoted the Declaration of Independence and what he called the sacred right of revolution. But I'm glad that you tied in the founding of the Confederacy to that provision of the Declaration of Independence, which I think sets forth the most important founding principle, that is, that governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. Lincoln was a great fan of this. In January of 1848, speaking before the United States Congress, he said, "Any people anywhere being inclined and having the power have the right to rise up and shake off the existing government and form a new one that suits them better." In 1852, he met in a courthouse with a number of other powerful Whigs, some of whom became powerful Republicans when the Republican Party was formed. They were contemplating the problem of freedom for the Hungarian people, who were engaged in a struggle for their national identity and survival with Tsarist Russia. And they had this meeting, 12 people, all of 12 people, mostly lawyers, who promulgated this resolution on behalf of the Hungarian freedom. And it says, you know, we, the American people, how modest of these guys. They concluded that we should not intervene in Central Europe, very wise in light of the fact that we had no way to get there and do anything. But they had 10 resolutions, and these were drafted by Abraham Lincoln. And I want to read the first one because it is directly to the point of what we are talking about. It says, "Resolved that it is the right of any people sufficiently numerous for national independence to throw off, to revolutionize their existing form of government and to establish such other in its stead as they may choose." In 1854, 2 years later, talking about Kansas, Nebraska, he said, "What I say is that no man is good enough to govern another man without that other's consent." He believed these principles very strongly right up to the day that he was inaugurated and had the powers of the presidency. In March of 1861, in his inaugural address, he said, and I quote, and he said this without the benefit of any public referendum or any legislative or congressional enactment, quote, "I hold that in contemplation of universal law and of the Constitution, the union of these states is perpetual. Perpetuity is implied, if not expressed, in the fundamental law of all national governments." Well, in two sentences, he unilaterally took it on himself, without the benefit of any election or constitutional convention or anything else, to overthrow the founding principle of this country, that governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. And, of course, he ultimately invaded the South, destroyed self-government in that territory, and his historical legacy, in my view, is not freeing anyone, but rather is not freeing slaves, but enslaving free men, and in transforming our federal government from a government that derived its powers from the consent of the governed to one that derived its power from the conquest of the governed. The state of Virginia, you know, everybody thinks there's this worldview that we have that, you know, there was one, you know, drum roll and the cymbals crashed and the southern states seceded. Actually, it happened over a period of about 6 months, and Virginia was not among the earliest states to secede. Virginia conducted a commission to study secession, and they had a vote, 88-45, against secession. And something very interesting happened. President Lincoln picked up the phone and said to the governor, not the phone, obviously he didn't do that, said, "We need 75,000 troops to help invade your neighbors and make war against them." And the governor said, in effect, to kind of modernize it in the manner of a Vietnam War protester, "Hell no, we won't go." They had a vote on secession, and the numbers were exactly reversed. It was like 2-1 in favor of secession. In May, they actually had a public referendum. All registered voters in the state of Virginia voted, and it was about 140,000 to 30,000 in favor of secession. Virginia succeeded based on a free election, based on the consent of the people who lived in that state in a manner that they voted. And the invasion of that state and the conquest of its people was the direct overthrow of a free election. It is interesting to note that the war against the states, the war of northern aggression, was never supported by a free election of any of the people in the northern states. Not only that, there was never even a declaration of war by Congress. Rather, Lincoln had so much confidence in the support of the people for his war of aggression against the South that he shut down 300 newspapers, he shot draft rioters, shot down state legislatures, and waged a reign of terror against his own people, all in the name of democracy. So when people say, what does the Confederate flag stand? It stands for the most fundamental principle of our country, that governments derive their power from the consent of the governed, and free elections really matter, whether they are on the subject of gay marriage or secession or the right to sell your house to whomever you choose, or on the right to deny illegal aliens access to the welfare trough, such as Proposition 187, supported by two-thirds of the voters in the state of California in the 1990s and overturned by the judicial tyranny that controlled our country. And I want to congratulate you on the most intelligent, the most substantive, and the most uplifting program on the Confederacy and on the Confederate flag that I have ever heard.
Well, God, Don, I mean, let me tell you something.
Wow.
Whatever inspiration you drew from us, Eddie and I are both sitting here jaw dropped. You have superseded anything that I've ever heard myself, Keith, or Eddie say on this show. I mean, that last, Eddie, you just tell him what we think.
Don, I'll tell you what. I've been doing this show a long time, and I'm saying this with all honesty. I believe you're the best caller we've ever had. In my opinion, you've done the best job of any caller. I just put my mic down and listened to you. Me and James were just sitting there, like he said, draw, drop. You are good, my man. You should be teaching. I thoroughly enjoyed what you said.
Know there's nothing that can be added.
I had one little dinky phrase to add to it, but he's already said so many. Like you said, Lincoln said, study the Constitution. Let it be preached from the pulpit, proclaimed in the legislature, enforced into the courts, But my Lord, Don,
until the day that he got into power, and then all of that shifted, as Don pointed out.
Just
Don,
like the Republicans do nowadays.
That was the great capstone to whatever good we did in advance of your call. That was the capstone to what I certainly feel as though has been a tremendously uplifting and encouraging broadcast. Thank you so much for the call, Don.
Thank you.
Call in again. Please call in again.
Right. Take over for me while you're at it. Listen. Great call, great show. I truly feel as though this has been an uplifting show. I hope that people – and look, that call came from California. That call didn't come from Mississippi. That call didn't come from South Carolina. That call didn't come from Georgia. That call came from California. So it just goes to show that, as we say, you know, this is a show that serves our people from coast to coast and around the world. We're all Confederates now.
James, I've been saying for a long time, I truly believe that the so-called red state, blue state is a crock. And we have enough callers. We had a caller in from Wisconsin tonight. We get this caller from California. We get them all the time. I think that the red state, blue state thing is divisive. I don't think it's accurate. I think, you know, being a Confederate is all in.
Here's the thing, though. I agree with you to an extent. Overall, we would say, look, Tennessee was one of the – there were seven states left as of yesterday that still had traditional marriage on the books. You couldn't have this blasphemous so-called marriage of homosexuals. Seven states were all that was left yesterday before the Supreme Court took them out. Tennessee was one of the seven. All right, Tennessee was one of the last states standing. And so certainly, overall, you would take a state like Tennessee or Mississippi or Alabama over a state like Oregon or Washington or even California. But that is not to say that there are not people like Don out there that are exceptions. And people like that are better than a lot of people in Tennessee. We know that. We're out of time. Good Lord. How did that happen? Hey, folks, if you love the show, if you drew inspiration tonight, support our work. We got to go, but we'll see you next week on the 4th of July.